COTA just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your COTA fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with COTA. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
You can relax. That's the name of our podcast.
Hello. Welcome to Relax the Podcast. I'm your host, Colleen Ballinger.
Hey.
With the star of the show, host, Eric Stocklin.
Fly Guy.
We missed you last week, Fly Guy. Last week, we skipped an episode. It was my birthday week. I was having shoulder issues. There was a lot going on. It was a party.
Yeah.
And a party of fun
and
stress.
You didn't have child care?
No. And wait, we didn't.
That's why we couldn't record.
Oh, yes. The day that we recorded, we didn't have...
Surprise.
Yeah, that's also true. So anyway, okay. it was a bit of a hectic week, but that's okay. We had a really great time just enjoying family time.
Sure.
And now we're back and it's Thanksgiving tomorrow, the day that this episode comes out. So if you're American,
say it's Thanksgiving tomorrow.
Well, for the people listening,
I would have believed you though. This is a gauntlet for our family.
Oh,
these 2 months, it's like twins' birthday, your birthday, Thanksgiving, Flynn's birthday, Christmas, New Year's. Come on.
I think it's a gauntlet for most people, even who don't have all the birthdays that we have.
Yeah.
Because it's such a hectic time of year with like everything bunched together. I saw someone say that they were like making a pitch to the world saying like, Christmas should be where Valentine's Day is. And Valentine's Day should be where Christmas is. Because Valentine's Day is not that big of a deal, but it's like, you know, it's starting to snow. You can like find someone to go on a date with. And then you're like, oh, I like this person. Now I can kiss them on New Year's, you know? Like,
I don't think you can move Christmas. I think you can move Thanksgiving.
Christmas is never going to be moved. But like, I'm just saying that's what this person was proposing.
Move Thanksgiving to...
Well, because Thanksgiving, didn't that happen on that day?
Probably.
Or something. I guess no, Thanksgiving changes every year because it's just the third Thursday of November.
And I feel
November.
Like it's on different dates in different countries.
And Christmas, I mean, that wasn't Jesus's birthday. They just picked that because it was like a pagan holiday to celebrate like...
Oh, really?
Yeah, because
when's his birthday? I thought it was his birthday.
I don't think we know his actual birth date, but what happened was... From what I have learned and probably will mess up explaining it, but the shortest day of the year, like the day, at least in some of the earth, you know, I guess the sun is different all over the world. So maybe I got this completely wrong, but I remember hearing or learning somewhere.
That would make sense that the sun would be different on different places of the world.
Yes, of course. But the shortest day of the year is December 22nd, I think is when the sun is up the least amount of time, I think.
In North America?
Yeah.
Okay.
Or in some places, I don't know where else in the world. I'm not a mathematician, scientist, planetarian person.
Astronomer?
Sure. But I just know that the sun is up a low amount of time. And way, way back in the bajillions of years ago, that felt like, you know, the sun was what they worshipped. The sun was God because the sun brought them crops and warmth and growth of plants and things. And so when the sun seemed like it was going away in less and less time in the sky... They were like, oh no, we're losing the sun. But then it started coming back. So 3 days after the day when the sun is the lowest or up the least amount of time, they were like, oh, we're going to celebrate the sun or something like that.
I feel like that makes a lot of sense to me. I feel like the sun's more of a god than
God. Think what happened, and please do not trust a word that I say because I am 99% wrong.
Women for some reason.
I would never say that. But I think that then when Christians were trying to like get other like pagans to follow their religion, they were like, okay, well, they already have this holiday. So we'll just say that's the day that we're going to celebrate Christmas. Jesus rising from the dead. I guess that's Easter, but Jesus being born, who's then going to rise from the dead and save your sins. So it's like, it was an easier transition for pagans to like be welcomed into Christianity or something like that. I think. I'm sure I made up all this from hearing I bet somewhere in there that everything I just said, something of that came from truth. And then I misinterpreted probably all of it.
I remember hearing
that once, but I think that's something. I don't know. But I don't think we know the actual literal date of Jesus's birth, but we do celebrate it on December 25th.
This is going to sound like a dumb question. Like as if I'm a toddler, pagan?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to, I already ruined everything.
What's pagan?
Well, I, again, don't want to mess up.
You use that word a lot in your speech.
I know, because that's, I remember when, like, when people who weren't Christians, like before, I don't know, but I think it's, I mean, that's how I've always heard it used, is like pagan people are the people that like Christians tried to convert pagans to Christianity. So I'm assuming it's people who didn't believe in
a person who practices a religion other than Christianity.
Yeah. That's what I thought. It was someone who wasn't believing
in
Christianity.
Or Judaism or Islam. Okay. Sure.
So I guess they were trying to convert those people to, but look up, see how incorrect I was. Can you do that for me? Can you Google right now? Why do we celebrate Christmas on December 25th and see what comes up? Because I wonder how far off I am, because I'm just going to let it be known. I have the worst memory of all time. And in school, like that was the hardest thing for me, was memorizing anything for like history class. Like I could remember a generic idea of something, but never dates, never the truth, never the facts. Is like
Christmas is on December 25th due to a combination of early Christian theological calculations and the absorption of pre-Christian pagan festivals. Sounds like you were right.
Sort of.
Yeah. No, it sounds like you were exactly right. I mean,
what was the festival though? Was it having something to do with the sun? Does it say on there?
Additionally, the date coincided with Roman winter solstice celebrations.
Winter solstice. Okay.
I
think it was.
Pagan winter solstice celebrations. December 25th was the date of the winter solstice in the Julian calendar. Romans celebrated the birth of the sun god, Sol Invictus.
The birth of the sun god.
Yes. So you were right.
Somewhere in there was truth. I knew somewhere in there. I'm fascinated by that kind of stuff, but it
doesn't
interesting. Like, I never think I'm going to actually have to say it to someone else. It's all stuff that like I like learning about, and then it just kind of sits in there. So the
it's
fact
weird.
That I was like,
as you get older,
saying it out loud.
There's two things
scary.
That happen as you get older. Your body starts decaying. You start to become interested in birds and identifying birds and history. Like I remember social studies was probably my least favorite class. Any kind of history class, all the way back to elementary school, junior high, high school, college. I was like, just get me out of here. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, just don't care.
Me too.
And then now I'm like, I know there's like a new Ken Burns documentary on the Revolutionary War that's like, I'm sure like 8 to 15 hours long. Mm-hmm. And I want to watch every single one of them.
Right.
So
yeah. Yeah.
It's just why birds and history become fascinating. And I guess for you, it's more religious history because
well,
of how
religion
you grew up.
And science. Like I love just science because it's not something I didn't get to learn growing up.
Yeah.
So like I love learning about science now and I'm bad at it, but like I enjoy watching stuff. I like listening to teachings.
What
on
kind
it.
Of science? There's that's I very love, broad.
Well, of course it is, but it also was broad when I was being raised in the church because it was just science was.
Well, I mean, like biology, chemistry,
no,
like
okay,
the
so
stars.
The stars
and rocks
and rocks
geology.
And, well, also, but I love like the history of like the earth and like I love that people can figure out just like through looking at rocks and the layers of the earth, what happened and how many millions of years old things were and what was going on during those different time frames and fossils and that kind of stuff. That's all very fascinating to me.
I love old stuff like old. This tree is very old.
Yeah.
Love
trees
that tree.
And like that's so cool that you can count the rings of a tree to find out how old it was. And if it had like a year, like if it burnt one year or something. You can see like the different like things that happened each year with the tree rings. But I think that's also
cool. But as a kid, I remember we went on a family vacation one year to Gettysburg and I was like, couldn't, you know what I mean? I just wanted to like, I think catch salamanders in a creek, much like our kids now. But like now, if I went to Gettysburg, I feel like that would be fascinating.
I think for me, maybe not for everyone, but for me, it was like, it wasn't personalized. And so that's why it was hard for me to learn. It was like, this is this war and this is what happened in it. This is this historical moment. This is what happened. But like, maybe that's why like stories like Anne Frank were so impactful, because when it's like a personalized thing, then it's like you can relate to someone who's going through it. And because for me, I was the same way. I didn't like anything that had to do with history. I was bad at it. Wasn't interesting to me until like I found these little books, these chapter books. I remember I was like 11, 12 years old, and they're about people. It was their diaries, and it was like a little girl on the Oregon Trail. And then suddenly I was fascinated with the Oregon Trail. You know, like it was like once I could read about an actual person who went through that thing, then like I remember learning about the Great Depression and being like, okay, that sounds really like a bummer.
It's a combination of a small worldview and like these, and here's a list of facts versus like any kind of storytelling or personalization. Yeah. Sure. Cause I like movies and stuff. But
right.
Like, but if you're just going to, we're just going to talk about it and go through the chapters of it. Like,
yeah. That's why history and social studies is so
like,
boring.
I was like, I'm trying to learn stick shift. I like this girl. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like I can't do kick flips anymore. Like that's all I cared about. Like, you know what I mean? I wasn't too interested in like.
Well, totally. Yeah. Like I remember learning about the Great Depression.
The Teapot Dome scandal, you know?
Right.
Whatever.
Yeah. I remember learning about the Great Depression and then not being interested in, but then wanting to talk to my great grandma about it because she lived through it and wanting to ask her questions about it.
Or if you saw photos of life during then.
Right.
Fascinating. Yeah.
Fascinating. Anyway.
Grapes of Wrath.
I like learning about science and things now. It's interesting to me. Or like,
it was a very smart episode of our podcast.
Well, also like the rainbow, like, you know, just thinking that was just God's promise. He's not going to murder everyone. And then finding out like it has nothing to.
That was funny. We saw a rainbow the other day and you're like, God's promise. And I was like, well, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's not going to kill us again. All at the same time.
That's so nice of him.
So, but you know, learning about this stuff is, I like, it's very interesting.
So people
now
went from worshiping the sun, which totally makes sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's kind of, you can explain it scientifically, but it's kind of, but still, that's kind of, and how everything is dependent on, you know, so honoring that, celebrating that,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you don't have an iPhone at that point. So, you know what I mean? You know, it's something to focus on. And
when it brings you
interested
your
in
food, it makes your food grow.
Well, yeah. And all of these things versus like, you know, this interesting moral story that's not all that moral. And then that being your,
mm-hmm.
it's weird. It's a weird transition. But I guess if you're like, well, we're going to do it on the same holiday and you get presents, they're like, all right, fine.
Yeah.
Oh, and,
or we're just going to steal your land and steal everything.
But also like you get to like go to this thing called heaven, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, aren't you scared of death? There's this thing called heaven. If you know, celebrate our holidays instead of the sun.
Yeah.
That's, I guess.
Which brings us to celebrating Thanksgiving, which is just people stealing land from people, you know, but not for, that's not what we're celebrating. We're going to celebrate family and food.
I'm celebrating pecan pie.
You do not say pecan. Get out of town.
Pecan pie.
Pecan pie. But I'm going to make a pecan pie. I need to get all those ingredients, love.
F, marry, kill. Pecan pie.
Oh, this is a great
pumpkin
question.
Pumpkin pie. Already. Or the chocolate chip cookie pie that you make?
Marry pecan.
And you did.
Kill pumpkin. Easy. Come on.
No to pumpkin pie?
Kill it.
It's a little bit
odd. Get out of here. The texture is gross. Slime Town USA.
I could take a bite.
It's not a solid, but it's not a liquid.
I could take a bite of pumpkin pie.
It's not a jelly. It's a, what is that?
I don't need the whole slice, but I feel like a bite is... I feel like people always just take one bite of pumpkin pie and then they're like, oh, right, this is awful.
It's horrible.
Yeah.
The consistency of pumpkin pie is terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like it.
Okay.
At all. So, yeah. I mean, I would assume you'd have the same answer as me.
Well, give me an F, marry, kill question about Thanksgiving
turkey
dishes.
Mashed potatoes, stuffing, or dressing, some people say, but stuffing.
Marry stuffing, because I feel like that is, it's a weird that we're like, stuffing can only be had one day of the year.
I know. It's
crazy. I feel like stuffing you should be able to have like in many dishes year round.
Yes.
And then F, mashed potatoes.
Yeah.
because it just seems like that could work.
Yeah.
And I love mashed potatoes, right?
Right, of course.
It's a good mix bite. Like you can mix up mashed potatoes with a bite of anything.
It's a good glue.
It's a good glue. And turkey.
Get out of here.
I mean, it's not really that necessary. I like turkey, but like it's not really necessary.
Justice for turkeys. Like the animal, not the food.
Have you ever seen a wild turkey? Like, we had them in Connecticut all over the place.
Yeah, they're real ugly, but like.
And then can be aggressive.
Sure, but that doesn't mean a lot of people are aggressive. It doesn't mean you kill them. Shouldn't be killing all these turkeys. No one even likes turkey. Who likes turkey?
But that bird does look like you should probably eat me.
Fine, but no. Maybe it looks like get rid of this. Like I wouldn't look at that animal and be like, I want to eat that. No, but that's disgusting.
But it's
looking.
Like, hey, I'm real easy to kill and I'm a good source of protein. You should just eat me.
I just think turkey
I can't really
is,
fly. Just kind of walking around. I got this long neck that you can just like, you know.
I just feel like nobody's favorite dish on Thanksgiving is turkey, but it's the star of the show. It's so weird. Like no one likes turkey.
It's a big presentational dead
it's
bird
weird.
Body
like, why are
in the
we
middle
still
of your table.
This?
I don't
like,
know.
Why are we still doing
nobody
this?
Like, I don't think anybody does. And you were like, dark meat? Don't like.
I don't like any dark meat. I know. I don't like chicken.
I think
dark
that's most
meat,
people.
Like, or, no, most people like it because it has more flavor. That's what I've always
slimy
heard.
Slimy or something.
Yes, it does. It feels slimy.
It's more gamey. Not a word I particularly like, but
I don't know that it. And I don't know about that, but it is slimier, and I don't like the literal flavor of it. I can taste it. If you gave me a casserole, a sandwich with tons of condiments in it and ingredients, if it is dark chicken meat,
yeah,
I can tell.
Cranberry sauce, like out of the can, mm-hmm. or like just like loose
can
homemade
can
cranberries
can.
In like
can
kind of sauced.
Give me a ridged.
Can just the satisfaction of the jiggle getting it out of that can.
It tastes better
on the sandwich the next day. Are you gonna put the homemade cranberry sauce? No. If you're going with Thanksgiving this year and you're like, listen, I make a really good homemade cranberry sauce and everyone's gonna love it. They don't like it.
They know they might like.
No, they don't like it. Don't bring it. Make something else.
They might like it, but like the cans are. Right.
And then your family introduced me to something that I'd never had, which was sweet potato casserole.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Which to me is wild because it's not, it's you guys eat it like it's a Thanksgiving side, but it's mm-hmm. truly a dessert.
Come you've on, somehow, it's a potato.
You've managed to make a sweet potato the most unhealthy thing on the table.
As if anything on the Thanksgiving table is healthy. It's like all hot mess. But I never had it actually until I moved to New York, and one of my best friends when I lived there, Anthony, he's this incredible chef, and he actually introduced me to sweet potato casserole, and his recipe was so insane. It's so good.
It is very good.
And so
it's very sweet.
Every year, like without question, I need to write it down and not lose it. But like every year on Thanksgiving, I'm like, hey, Anthony, yeah. Can you please send that to me again?
I'm sure he loves that.
It's so good, but yeah, it's become a staple in our family. And funny enough, the first year I actually made it for my family, my dad was like, I love sweet potato casserole, but we'd never had it that I can remember.
Oh, I thought that was a your family thing.
If it was, I never saw it on the table.
But you're saying that you introduced it?
I didn't introduce it to the world.
Well, to your family.
Well, my dad said he'd had it before.
Because now you do it every Thanksgiving.
Yeah, because my dad likes it.
Green bean casserole.
I don't like it.
Don't make it. Nobody wants it.
Abby loves it. It's her favorite dish.
She's lying.
No, she's not.
Is it because she makes it?
She's making it and she's bringing it and she
Don't
likes
bring it.
It. She loves it. And I tasted it last year. I thought it was good. But there's so many delicious things at Thanksgiving that like I need to save room for deviled eggs mostly. So like I'm not going to fill my stomach with like green beans.
That's the one you marry.
Oh, marry no. and fuck and
love can't say
and
that
and live with forever and in eternity and heaven is
I
a deviled egg.
I was just gonna say the same thing. That's the one you do you marry and you have a good.
I only want to eat deviled eggs.
A healthy sexual relationship.
If someone said like, and I also hate eggs in general. Like I don't
and
enjoy
you're
them.
Certainly gonna get sick, but you can't stop me from eating like 12 of those.
Right. It's like if someone was like, I'm gonna make you a dozen hard-boiled eggs and you have to eat them, I'd be like, you're insane. I can barely swallow one hard-boiled egg. Deviled eggs, I could eat 10 in a sitting.
All right. Here's my next question about deviled eggs. Are you going to choose the one with the olive on it?
Depends on the olive.
Or is it paprika?
Yes.
I'm going paprika, man.
It depends on but what
sometimes
I'm
I want the olive.
Sometimes I want that little snap of a little bite.
It's a little freakier, you know?
I don't like reimagined, reconstructed deviled eggs when people are like, deep fried deviled egg with bacon bits and hollandaise. Like, no,
but there was a really good one at a restaurant that we went to. I know it's crazy. We went to a restaurant. We did it like once, but they did have deviled eggs and it did have some sort of like
pancetta
pork bit.
And I did not like it. You liked it, but I did not like it.
I liked it, but it ruined the experience.
Deviled eggs should be simple. It's got to be, like, my mom's recipe, the one she uses, is just amazing. Perfect. It's tangy. Yeah. You've got that.
There's
mustard.
A woman who
no
has
Dijon
a Thanksgiving specialty, bring those.
I don't want that Dijon. Regular yellow mustard, apple cider vinegar, which I said this once, and everyone was like, not apple cider vinegar. Right? No. Listen to me.
You want the tang.
It's yellow mustard, apple cider vinegar, and salt and pepper. And I feel like that's it. Maybe there's probably mayo in it or something. I don't know. But I know that the main ingredients are apple cider vinegar and mustard in with the egg yolk. And it's so perfect.
She's like a professional. She has like to go carrying cases for deviled eggs.
Yes.
Like who owns that in their kitchen where it's like a big tray, but with a cover because you are actively taking deviled eggs to places multiple times a year.
Yes.
Your mother does, as she should.
They're so good. That's my favorite for sure. Buy a bajillion. Like, I'll eat the
other
stuff.
I forgot. How did I not mention deviled eggs yet?
I don't know. But everything else at Thanksgiving, like, I'll eat it. Not tolerate it. It's delish. But, like, I will eat it. But it's, like, mostly I just want deviled eggs. It's, like, kind of the only thing I want.
Yeah. I just want the sandwich the next day and the deviled eggs.
I don't care about the sandwich.
I just want to make a sandwich with all that mess on it. Sandwich. I love how now some sandwich places, they have a Thanksgiving sub year round.
You know what this deviled eggs theory of like, oh, I wouldn't eat more than one hard boiled egg, but deviled eggs I could eat like a dozen of. There's a few things I've seen people talk about with this, like mozzarella cheese sticks, like string cheese. How many string cheeses could you eat in one sitting? It's like
four.
One if I, what?
How big are they? What do you mean like the...
Wait.
Oh, no, I thought you were saying fried mozzarella sticks.
Yeah, mozzarella sticks. that's where I was getting to. Is that
one.
Like, yeah, one mozzarella string cheese is like all you do. But then like mozzarella sticks, people down those things.
Well,
I don't like them. But,
okay. But
another thing I'd never thought of before is like, how many tortillas can you handle? And it's like, I don't know, like one or two. But like chips?
Think about
tortilla chips. It's a tortilla cut into like, you know, six times or something.
How many chips are you just eating? Bags of chips?
Have you ever been to a Mexican restaurant and gotten chips and salsa? We eat the whole basket like three times.
Yeah.
How many tortillas?
But if you imagine
that
as a full tortilla, I don't know, four or five?
Lovey. No, it's probably like 20 tortillas.
I don't eat that many chips, but yeah, I don't know.
I feel like I eat 20 tortillas every time I have chips and salsa.
That's
good. I don't even think about it.
I'm glad you're enjoying that.
I wonder if there's other foods like that where it's like you don't realize how many of the thing you're eating, but you would never eat it.
Yeah, well, look at the calories, I guess.
Live with the calories?
Look at the calories, like, on the back of the thing or on the package.
No.
Yeah, don't do that.
No. Do you want to keep talking about Thanksgiving food? Because I can.
It's topical.
Americans.
Don't go around the table saying what you're thankful for. Or do.
Don't? Why? Does that stress you out?
It stresses me out.
Okay.
Okay, on the spot right now. You're next in line. What are
my
you
family.
For?
I'm thankful for my family. Yeah. I'm thankful for my house and my job and my life and my amazing children.
Yeah, I'm thankful for all that stuff too.
I'm thankful for music. And
but that's what people always
people.
Say. People what's a funny bit that you could say you're thankful for?
But I don't know. What do you mean? It's not a comedy routine when you ask when you say what you think. Is that what you're stressed about? That you want to like make everyone laugh?
No, I'm not a center of attention guy. Just like I mean, we're all we're thankful we're here. We came.
Yeah, I think everyone says kind of like family and whatever. And
it's the same thing as like going around and like saying your name. You know?
No,
like,
I don't think it's the same because I think it's like it's important and good to like say out loud the things you're grateful for, things that make you happy. I think it's different than like keeping it up in your noggin.
You've been paying attention in therapy.
See,
it's working.
I think it's a sweet moment.
Yeah. Yeah. Keep it.
Don't do it if you're Eric, but you don't have to do it this year. You can disappear during
that
part.
What am I going to do? I say skip.
Skip.
Pass.
Nothing.
What? No, I'm not going to. No, I'm thankful for so much.
Yeah.
And I should share it publicly in an intimate dinner table setting.
I always, growing up, just didn't like the, I didn't mind the saying what you're thankful for. I didn't like the waiting for the prayer, like, to be over. I never liked that part. It's not that I wasn't grateful to God for the food. It was just like, it was always an adult talking for a real long time as a kid. And it's like, we all held hands around the table, and like, you had to keep your eyes closed, but all the kids are like kind of opening their eyes a little bit to see who else was opening their eyes. And like,
yeah, that was something new to me, having Thanksgiving with your family, because we never did that.
You never prayed before a meal?
When we were little kids, we would say grace, and it would be like, rub a dub dub, thanks for the grub.
I don't know that that's grace.
Yeah, but that's what we would say. And every kid, we would have to take turns. And me and my brothers and my sister, that's like all we would just literally only say, rub it up.
So your dad would be
grub,
like,
and just
kids,
start eating.
It's time to say grace.
Yeah. And we one of us, would take turns every night, and we pretty much just say that.
Rub a dub dub, thanks for the grub.
Yes. Rub a dub dub, thanks for
who
the grub.
Who did you think you were saying start thank eating. You to? Your mom?
Huh?
Who are you saying thank you to? In your head as a kid?
To a non-denominational, unidentifiable, like
sun.
Deity, the sun. Yeah, pretty much. I don't know. We were hungry. Why are we doing this? But nobody was holding hands.
We said grace.
Do you guys hold hands before every meal and say grace?
Not every meal, but yeah.
Give me a grace. And not to be like blasphemous, but like, just give me like an average grace.
Well, we wouldn't say like, we're going to say grace. That sounds a lot more traditional than like what we did. We would just say, oh, we're going to pray. It's time to pray.
And but isn't praying like a silent?
It can be.
Solo activity.
It can be, but it can also be not. So it's, you thank God for the food and for the hands that prepared it. And
well,
for
do
the
it, do
day.
It, do it, do a grace. Do a prayer.
Dear Heavenly Father. You're not closing your eyes, first of all, Eric. What are we?
I'm already want to open them again.
Wait, is this
I'm
Thanksgiving
so
Day? What is
give
this?
Me a Thanksgiving grace.
Okay.
But in a nice, non-blasphemous kind of way.
Of course not. I'm not going to be blasphemous about it. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this time together as a family where we can all come together and celebrate life and love and you. And thank you so much for the food that we're about to eat. And for the hands that prepared it, all the amazing people in the kitchen who worked so hard all day to make this food for us. We're so grateful for you and for all the blessings you brought to us and our family. And we love you. And happy Thanksgiving, girlfriend.
Okay. That's a good.
No, and then we'd just say amen. And then everyone says amen.
And okay, so do it one more time.
What?
Just do it one more time.
Why?
Just do one more time.
And that was kind of long. Like, I feel like I'm bad for the listeners.
And I'll say what I'm thinking during that whole thing. Yes, and?
Dear Heavenly Father.
Oh, my God. I hate this.
Lovey, that's blasphemy. That's not nice.
No, I was saying it about the Father. I was saying it about, like, why are we doing this? Oh, my eyes are closed. I want to open them.
See, mine was never, I
eggs.
Hate this.
Why are the deviled eggs at the other end of the table? I'm not going to get any of the good deviled eggs.
Can I tell you what my brain was thinking? I already gave it away.
If I fart right now, that'd be crazy.
I would go like, oh, this person's hands are like
so. This person's hand is so
sweaty.
Wet.
Grandma's hand is so sweaty. And oh my God, Rachel won't stop wiggling. Like, stop it. Stand still. And like, my brain would be thinking about the hands I was touching and like,
and I'm holding my uncle's hand.
And then
this
is weird.
I've never held my uncle's hand before. This is very strange.
Yeah. I was big on praying, but out loud praying was very stressful to me.
We don't want to mess it up, right?
Yeah.
Because you're like, yeah.
Yes.
I don't think I've ever been asked.
To pray?
Well, to lead a, other than as a child, rub it up dub, thanks for the grub.
Yeah, come on.
I don't think
that
I've ever been like, Eric, you're a guest in our house. Why don't you have the privilege of doing grace for the family tonight? I think I would go, can I tell you a funny story, but like this just reminded me of?
Yes.
That I feel like I've told you before.
Yes. Is this off the record? Or like the way you said that was like, we got to put the mics down.
I was in a wedding party, a very religious like wedding party, wedding where I was in one of the groomsmen. And at one part they did, what's it called when they give you the biscuit? That's
the biscuit,
the cracker, the,
oh my God. Love the biscuit.
Yeah. when they give you the
communion?
They give you, is that what they, yeah, but they do it every time or?
Well, it depends on the church.
This, I'm not going to name what denomination this was, but they didn't tell us they were going to do this.
They pass around the
trays? It was like, no, it gets way worse. It was like, they're just like, there was no, like the rehearsal was just kind of like, you're going to stand up there. And
a wedding,
a wedding. So you're going to stand up and you're going to stand up the whole time and you're standing on this white marble. So don't pass out. A lot of people pass out at these things. If you feel like you're going to pass out, just go sit down because apparently people with their knee there, and they said, don't lock your knees. Cause this was like the priest, whatever, telling us this because like a lot of people lock their knees and are standing up here for an hour. And then they end up passing out. Like you feel like that's going to happen. Go sit down. So I was very stressed about that. I was preoccupied in my mind thinking I was going to pass out during this wedding the entire time. This happened before I knew you.
Okay.
And this is going on and on. It's this big, very religious ceremony. And then the guy starts to, and we're on essentially on stage mm-hmm. in front of all the guests. He starts handing out the cracker. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if I was first or second, but he came up to me to hand it to me.
Have you ever had it before?
No.
You did? So you never know communion? Okay.
I stood there and I just go, I just opened my mouth.
Lovey.
Like, cause I didn't, I thought he was just going to put it in the cracker in my mouth. I didn't realize I was supposed to take it with my hand. Cause I think in movies, I'd seen like the guy like puts the cracker in their mouth. So I'm on stage in front of like 200 people, had no, the curveball, we're passing out the cracker and he goes to hand it to me. And I just, with my arms at my side, go like that. And he looks at me like, this is not your thing. And he just, I walked away. He did not, he didn't put the cracker in my mouth. He didn't put, give it to my hand. He looked at me like.
Maybe you just looked like you were shocked. Like, oh, how dare you?
No, it was very obvious that I was like, oh.
You thought he was going to feed you like a baby bird?
No, like baby bird would be mouth to mouth. But like.
I don't know what you thought.
I thought he was just going to put the cracker in my mouth. I was just going with it. I was just like, all right.
Dude.
I didn't want to offend anyone. And I ended up offending everyone. Yeah.
Have you ever actually done communion though? Other than that?
I think so.
Yeah.
My religious history is like we went to like a few different kinds of churches when I was a kid, I think for educational purposes. So we could see, you know, so us as children could see what was out there. It was like congregational church, you know, Protestant, you know, this, you know, it wasn't anything like super heavy, but it was like, you know, you can just go and it's a community kind of thing. But I remember drinking the juice.
A little cup of grape juice.
I remember putting money in the gold dish.
Mm-hmm.
That was exciting for
tithing,
me.
Tithing to put money in the dish.
Well, then I'd be the one to get to put the dollar bill in the mm-hmm. gold dish. You know what I mean?
You're supposed to give 10% of your earnings.
What?
Yeah, tithing.
There's a thing called tithing, and it means we want 10%.
Well, that's what that is when you're doing donations to the church.
That made me want to burp. Wait,
you didn't? It didn't make you want to. You did.
So is that in the Bible?
Yes, it's in the Bible.
Who put that in the Bible?
Some dude.
The dude that was collecting that money.
I guess.
Was it for the community's good?
That's what they're, it's supposed to be to go, it's for God.
But then where does that money go? Who is?
To God. No, the money is to go back into the church. To non-taxable,
like real estate investments?
I don't know. I'm not a church, but I just know that what I assumed was that it went to, it went back into the church so that the church could exist so that we could go to church and worship God. So it was like going into like paying the pastor and the worship team and like pay for the microphones when they sing
Yeah, but then those pastors started getting private jets.
Some of them, some don't. Not all churches are like that.
I know. This isn't an anti-whatever.
Yeah, no.
This isn't an atheist podcast. Thanksgiving, right?
Thanksgiving.
Yes.
I wrote down a bunch of stuff to talk about. I didn't know but we can just keep talking about Thanksgiving. I'm down.
Well, you didn't ask me who I think needs to relax.
Oh my God, week. We didn't do that, did we?
No.
Okay, who needs to relax?
Couple of things.
Okay.
I made a couple mistakes this week.
Okay.
Small mistake.
Okay.
I put on chapstick.
Oh, big mistake, you mean?
Huge mistake.
It's like putting on lotion.
The weather changed.
Bad idea.
And it was there and I was like, that'll feel good. But it's like anything else that, you know, for some things that feel good, if you do that, then you're
Now it's like you're addicted and you need to do it all the time.
Well, it's just for some reason our skin and our bodies, like they're like, oh, I don't have to moisturize it myself. Thanks, bro. I'm going to then not do it anymore.
Yeah.
I feel like lotion does that to me. If I put lotion on my hands.
Makes it worse.
My hands
chapstick
are then
makes me have chapped lips.
Yeah, it like feels good for like an hour and then you like can't live without chapped lips. But the weather has made lips very much more chappy these days.
Yeah, it's like it's a thing. It's so weird that like if you use chapstick, you then will have chapped lips every hour and will need and necessitate chapstick. I remember I used to be a chapstick guy. I would always have it. It'd be one of the many things I would have in my pockets at like at all times. And then I realized that if I just didn't use chapstick for a week or two, then you didn't need it. I was like, this is like, how does this industry exist? I looked it up and yeah, it doesn't really do anything. It's like a momentary relief of like a thing that you started using the thing because your lips don't have oil glands, so they can't moisturize themselves. And when you're putting on chapstick, you're putting a barrier between it and the environment, so you can't moisturize your lips either. So you're kind of like trapped. You're actually essentially drying out your lips by putting on chapstick because you're putting a petroleum product over your lips and trapping the dry lips between, you know, that and the environment.
I do.
That makes sense.
You are a scientist, first of all. That was a lot of very smart information. But I do think that there are products that do kind of work.
Lip like, oils.
I believe you, but I feel like Aquaphor is like the...
Yeah, I know Aquaphor, but then I need Aquaphor.
I don't know. I just feel like if I buy a chapstick, I'm dried out.
There's certain, I mean, we don't need to get into the whole thing, but there's certain like ingredients that like you don't want. I mean, that I looked at a dermatology website. In there, you
know. Yeah, don't use chapstick. This is an anti-chapstick podcast.
It's like, yeah, no, it's not. It's don't do that.
So that was your big mistake. What was your little mistake this week?
That was my little mistake.
Oh, that seems like a big one to me. I'm terrified to know the big one, love. That was the little one.
My big mistake this week was getting it in my. I'd never done this before for anyone. Way outside of my comfort zone, the idea of putting together any sort of surprise party.
Oh yeah. That wasn't a big mistake. How was that a big mistake?
I just think it was.
What?
I thought, and you have to understand from my perspective, you didn't plan on doing anything. You had kind of said, I don't want to do anything. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I think she's been a bit down. I love her. I want to celebrate her. Yeah. I know other people did too. I think she doesn't want to do anything because she doesn't want any additional stress. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And generally when we host something, like you kind of do all of it, you know,
mm-hmm.
I'll do meat. If there's a meat involved, I'll cook the meat
yeah.
element of it, you know?
Yeah.
A tri-tip.
A turkey,
a ham, you know what I mean? I'm the meat guy.
And we got to have a ham on Thanksgiving, by the way.
A ham and a turkey?
Love, no one likes the turkey.
It's $140.
Well, that's your fault for not getting the Jennie-O.
I'm not getting the Jennie-O. Don't say get the Jennie-O. But in any case, so I was like, in my mind, if I do all that, just like how she does, like the way you throw a party for like our children, you know what I mean? Where like you get a specific kind of streamer thing mm-hmm. that you put in a door arch. You get like, there's balloons, you know, blah, blah. If I take all... But I can't do that if she knows about it, because then she'll have to do it. You know what I mean? You'll want that control element. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? Which is like an okay thing, but it's like a personality. Like you'll want like a control element of it. But if it's a surprise, then like I take all that stress and I can do it. Blah blah blah. And I talked to your sister. She was like, yeah, okay, yeah, as long as it's chill. But she was like, you know, in her own way, like. What are you doing? Like, she was, okay, yeah, I'll, but she was nice and she was like, I will help, you know what I mean? Like, but like, I was like, can you invite so-and-so? And I asked her to make those butterscotch
so yummy.
Cookies. She's like, because I don't know how to do that. I didn't have that recipe. And I know that's something that's kind of like a linchpin for you in like a mm-hmm. Christmas-themed kind of party. And then I talked to your other best friend.
Mm-hmm.
She was like, I was, okay. do you think she'd like that? You know, she was like, I was just going to take her to the Wicked movie. And I was like, and she didn't even want to do that. You know what I mean? Because she said she didn't want to do anything. She didn't want to do anything. You know? And I was like, oh, no. It's like, you know, and I kind of did the same little speech about how, like, I wanted to, you know, celebrate her. We all do. We love her. You know what I mean? Like, you know, like I got everything. You know what I mean? And then I talked to your mom. Your mom was the most excited of them all, but she was still kind of like, okay, I'll make cookies. You know what I mean? And then I was like, at this point I had already like kind of put a deposit or whatever. Cause I hired a piano player mm-hmm. to play at our piano and play like Christmas music. Cause this is something I did for you 3 or 4 years ago mm-hmm. for birthday party. And it was really fun that, yeah. you know what I mean? He's amazing. And it was such a fun element. So that would had already been like secured. And then these kind of conversations happened. And I think for me, like I might have an ulcer, like the stress and anxiety of keeping all like that. Cause you know me, I get a present for you a week before like your birthday or Christmas. I have like, I want to give it to you. Like, yeah. I have to just give it to you immediately. Like I'm not good at that secrets or that kind of a thing. So just like, and then how to figure out like to get you out of the house. And how to how am I going to clean and set up everything? It was so stressful. And then the stress became like, oh, she's going to hate this. Specifically when you said to me, cause like I got you out of the house, like to go to the beach with your mom, to mm-hmm. go look at rocks and your best friend. And then they were going to bring you back when like people were supposed to, you know, be getting here. And you said to me right before you left, you go, yeah, when I get back, like, let's just have a chill. Let's just do nothing. Maybe we go to like Marshall's or Ross or something with the kids and just like get like dumb stocking stuffers. Like they'll have a lot of fun. And I was like, oh, I've made a huge mistake.
No, well, I said that, but then on the way home from the beach, I was so tired. And yes, I was like, I do not want to go to Marshall's. I don't want to go anywhere.
That's the worst part. That's where it got worse is because yeah. then you're on your way home. I'm like tracking you. I'm like, everybody, she's on her way home. And then you text me, you know what? I don't even want to go to Marshall's. I'm so exhausted. I'm too tired. And I'm like, this is, and then I also, I don't think I considered like, I don't know. It was from a place of, just so you know, it was from a place of love and wanting to celebrate you and create like a 3-hour bubble window of like Christmas, Colleen birthday, like small, you know, just, you know, intimate, like the people, you know, who love you and care about you that are like in our area, you know what I mean? Like family and just created like a little bubble of happiness kind of a thing. But right. like it was so, then you got home and then it was so strange. Your reaction was grateful, but I could tell that because it, and you kind of explained because it was unexpected,
it was hard
available for it.
It was hard. No, I thought I know exactly.
You became available for it eventually.
Yeah. And I told you right away, I was like, it's just taking me a minute to switch gears.
Yeah.
Because I thought the night was going to do one thing and now it's something different. And it was so, so sweet.
But that sounds like a horrible thing to have to do on your fucking, on your birthday.
No. Okay. First of all, it's heartbreaking to hear you say that you think that was a big mistake because it wasn't. It was so sweet. And it was so, I know it was completely 100% from a place of like love and thoughtfulness and wanting to do something so kind for me. And like, you see me do that all year, every year for everyone else's birthday, every holiday. And you wanted to do it for me, which was so
sweet.
Yeah.
You understand. And I knew if you knew about it, you would say,
I would have said, don't do that.
You would said, don't do that, which maybe means you didn't want it. But I was like, she wants it. She deserves it. She just thinks she doesn't want it because she thinks she's then going to have to do everything.
No. So, well, I thought it was so sweet and we had so much fun.
But you're saying if I just said to you like, hey, I want to do this for you and I'm going to do everything. Don't even think about it.
I would have said, I don't want you to do it. And I'll tell you why. But I'm glad you did it. And we had so much fun. It ended up being so much fun. And I had a blast. And I felt terrible that like right when I came in, I wasn't immediately just excited. And I mean, I was and I was happy, but I was just, it just... And I immediately came to you and explained to you. I was like, "This is so sweet.
No, you
I
were
love
a good,
you.
You were a good sport
just
because the kids were so excited to that there was a surprise element.
But the reason that I would have still said no if you were like, "I'm going to do everything is it okay if I throw you this birthday party? Is because I love throwing birthday parties for people. I know how much work goes into them. It is a lot of stress. It's a lot of planning. It's a lot of prep. It's a lot of sleepless nights. And I love it. I love creating fun holidays, celebrations, birthdays. I love it so much that I'm like, can I do my niece and nephews too? Like, I'm like, I really genuinely love hosting. It's something that brings me joy to host for other people. And I also understand that most people don't feel that way. And I know how much stress goes into it and anxiety and like planning and prepping. And it's like, it's a lot. And so the idea of for my birthday, someone else having to go through stress and anxiety and plan and prep and money and all that, that to me, that stresses me out. The idea that like someone else would go through all of that and have to go through the turmoil of that when they don't enjoy it how I do.
Well, and that's how that's how I explained how intensely stressful that was. But at the same time, it was very exciting to me that there like that there would be the payoff would be that you would be happy, that you would feel loved. You know what I mean? So it's yes, it was all those things for me, like stressful, and then it's not, and it's, again, out of my comfort zone, not my, like my normal role, meat guy, you know what I mean? But the payoff of you feeling, knowing that about me and would make you feel extra loved, you know what I mean? Happy, but I don't know.
Yeah, no, I'm glad you did it. And I'm glad you didn't tell me, because if you had, that's why I would have said, don't do that. Because I would have been like, he's going to just be so stressed. And I just want my birthday. I don't want the pressure of anyone feeling like they need to do anything for me or trying to do anything for me. I just wanted nothing. And so when I got there, I was grateful of how much I could tell how much work went into it, but it was hard. I felt guilty that my brain isn't wired like other people's, where like I wasn't able to just go, oh my God, a fun, exciting party. And I didn't have to plan anything. My brain, it just took me like 30 minutes to flip it from going like, wait, the plan was that, well, I was going to do this, but now the plan is a different plan. And it took me really, it was hard for me to transition. And it's not
and
like
I know you have a special brain,
but
I feel like I would have the same issue. You know what I mean? And I think 99% of the population would have the same issue. And I don't know what got into me.
Well, I think you love me and you want to do something
just
nice.
The idea that you were like, nothing this year, nothing. I don't want anything. Don't get me anything. I don't want to do anything. And I
guess saying this isn't a game. I'm not playing tricks. Yeah, I'm being very literal.
You were very
please,
convincing.
Please
that you
do
didn't
not
want anything.
Get me a present.
It just seemed like, and I see you do all this for other people in our family and our kids that I just found that unacceptable. And I was like, the only way to do it is if it's a surprise party. But like,
which is true.
And then like, and then it's, so then it was like the next day and I'm like, what I felt was, did I have a psychotic break?
No, I think it was a desperate.
You did a surprise part.
It was great, love. It was so
nobody,
fun.
I don't think nobody wants that. I don't think anybody, do people do that? I asked.
The kids had so
I
much
asked
fun.
AI,
so
like, is
fun.
A surprise party
it's so much fun.
A good idea? And the AI was like, nah. Not a good idea. Surprise.
It was so fun, you guys. We had so much fun. The piano player was so amazing. And by the end, we were like laughing and all singing. And one of my favorite moments of all time happened that night, where Maisie, who is shy and would never get on a microphone or perform in front of people. Like,
unless she had an alter ego, apparently.
And she sang a song.
She
ad-libbed
a song.
Ad-libbed a song, and the pianist started like going with her and like following her lead and playing, accompanying her, making up a song as she was like singing to her favorite
as,
little penguin.
No, she was
friend.
Singing as the penguin.
It was so magical. We had so much fun. It was just a Christmas explosion, fun family Christmas party. We had so much fun. It was such a blast. It was such a success. It was just hard because I went for me for a minute and you know, it's not like I was like, this isn't what I wanted. I was so happy. And I came up to him and I hugged him. He said, are you upset? I said, not at all.
No, there's no knock at you or in your reaction. This is like me trying to understand what's psychosis.
Well, can I tell
may
my favorite,
still be in.
My favorite part of the party was that part I just said. But I came up to you and I gave you a big hug and I was like, thank you so much. This is so sweet. I can tell you put so much hard work into this. And you were like, are you upset. And I said, no, not at all. And you were like, you are. I was like, I'm not. It's just taking me a minute to adjust because I thought we were just going to have a chill night, like watching a Christmas movie. And now there's a lot of people at our house and it's very loud and it's and there's a lot going on. But like, it's OK. Like, this is so sweet. And you were like, oh, man, I even asked like your mom and your sister and Teenie, like if I should do this. And I said, and what'd they say?
Yeah.
And you go, they kind of said not to do it a little bit. But your reaction to it was so funny. Like, you like laughed and you're like, ah, they said maybe not.
Yeah.
But then we both laughed. It like broke, you know, like we both laughed and I was like, no, it's awesome. And we had so much fun. Didn't you have so much fun?
What's past is past, you know?
Oh, come on. It was so
fun. I did have fun. Yeah.
It was so fun. And he like worked for days on this like beautiful balloon arch of like Christmas balloons. And I do know how much work goes into these parties.
Yeah, if anything, now I can have sympathy for you.
That's what
like,
I was going to say.
I did, I was setting up the white elephant for everyone. You know what I mean? And there was games and like there was the Crustables, you know what I mean, for the kids. And there was the veggie tray.
Yeah,
and,
I feel like that is one thing is like the next day you were talking about everything that you did, how much work it was going into it, and
made a balloon arch.
Yeah, and I was like, I know, but so it did make
you
me
do that
feel
multiple times a year.
Yeah, so I kind of went like, oh, maybe you got a little glimpse into like all the stuff I do, but I do enjoy it. Like I do.
You should feel validated.
Yeah, but I do, and I thought it was very sweet. I know why you did it. You did it because you love me, and you thought she's saying she doesn't want anything. But women don't know what they're talking about.
That's so not true.
But you thought, you even said this at the party. You said, I thought, you said you didn't want it anything and I believed you, but I thought you'd come around. You said that to me.
Yeah.
And I did. I came around quickly because it was so sweet. It was sweet. You know, there was a moment in the beginning where I was like, oh, this is not what I said that I wanted, but this is also so thoughtful that like, there was no part of me that was mad or anything like that. It was just
I don't believe that first. I don't no ounce of me believes that you were upset or mad.
Yeah, no, I was just like, oh, this isn't what I anticipated, but it was so fun. And
but I wouldn't blame you if you were upset or mad.
Well, why would that be so evil to be like, you put all this work into this party to celebrate me and now I'm mad at you? That makes no sense at all, actually. Overall, it was a huge success. I'm so sad that you feel like it was a big mistake. It wasn't. It's going to be one of the best memories of like our kids' lives forever. Maisie, it was so fun. They had so much fun surprising me.
That moment of her singing, but also the next day, she in a private moment, she goes to me, Daddy, that was the best party I've ever been to.
Yeah, it was amazing.
So I think, yeah. But
it was so fun.
But mistake.
I don't think it was a mistake at all.
Like,
I don't think it was a mistake. I think that it was a great night and everyone had so much fun. And I think that like now, next time I go like, hey, I'm really serious. I don't want to do anything. You'll be like, yeah, I'm not going to throw a party.
No, I would never. You don't have to ever worry about being surprised with anything.
The only negative that comes from that party is that now I know you're capable of throwing a party like that. And so now for the parties, I'll be like, you
know,
hey, Lovey,
you know,
Eric, come make a balloon arch.
You're on the balloon arch.
Arch.
And that is a very painful process to make a balloon arch. My fingers still hurt from the wrapping, you know, to tying off the balloons.
Yeah, those are pretty brutal. Very impressive, though. The decorations are all beautiful. I haven't posted that vlog yet. So I think tomorrow will be the day or either... tomorrow or the next day will be the day where I post that birthday party. So you guys will get to see some of it and how much fun we had. You'll see how much fun it was. Like there's clips of us singing and it was a total blast. It was so fun. We had a blast. It was awesome. I think like hiring that piano player was such a win. And
yeah,
like,
he's the best.
I think everyone had so much fun. It was great. It wasn't I hope you don't feel any sort of negative feeling about it at all.
It was nice. It was honestly like nice to talk through it.
Wow. we have a couple times we did that night a lot, but it was great and I love you and thank you for doing all that for me.
I didn't bring it up to say have you say thank you, but you are loved.
I know. I love you too, and I love turkey on Thanksgiving. It's delicious. I can't wait to eat it.
So those are both lies?
No, only one is. What's the truth and what's the lie?
What was the turkey you said to get?
Jennie-O. Isn't that what it's called?
Go get the Jennie-O.
Isn't that what it's called? I feel like I can see that logo or label.
I don't know
what
kind I got, but it was, man, it was expensive.
Well, I didn't get around to saying my relax, but we got to go because our babysitter's got
to
go.
Well, yeah, and a reading tutor is about to arrive, but I have to let in.
So we're gonna say goodbye to you, and I'll let you know my relax is next week.
It'll be a surprise.
If you're lucky.
Suspenseful.
But I love you. Thank you so much for my birthday party. Making me feel special. I'm serious. It was so sweet. And thank you guys for listening, and thanks for being patient last week when we had to skip an episode. But
crazy. Can't believe I did that.
We'll see you next week. And it might be a very Christmassy episode next week. I'll say.
Oh, look at how Christmassy I can get.
I know. I love the decor. We're back in our regular podcasting area.
That was nice to be back in here.
I love it. All right. See you next week, guys.
Bye.
This holiday season, reach for the one butter that never disappoints, Kerrygold. Made with milk from grass-fed cows on Irish family farms, it's rich, creamy, and perfect for baking. Whether browning butter for cookies or crafting the flakiest pie crust, Kerrygold's high butterfat content makes all the difference in flavor and texture. Holiday treats will taste extraordinary.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
With fall in full swing, more moments call for more comfort. Mack Weldon's got all the essentials for comfortable, easy-to-layer clothes designed for cooler days and timeless style you can count on. Their new Ace line, inspired by their best-selling sweatpants, combines everyday comfort with long-lasting and effortless looks. Not flashy, just classic, always in style, and made from the world's most comfortable performance materials. Fall into comfort with Mack Weldon's Ace collection. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 20% off your first order of $125 or more with promo code MACK25.